Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, greetings, and I'm tremendously honored to be here with you this morning. We are just a small little red dot, but we try to do our best. As God leads us, we just want to sow and give back into the kingdom, because that's where Singapore is. Because God has sown into the kingdom, sown into Singapore, we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I send you greetings from our lead pastor, Pastor Dominic Yeo, who is a very close friend of Pastor Marie. I told him about what's going to happen this few days. He said he wished that he could be here with you this morning and this weekend, but I'm sure that in the days to come, we will drag him out here and he will share a powerful word. Amen. Amen. So very quickly, thank you for having me here for your Missions Emphasis Week. And the theme that you have for this Missions Emphasis Month, it's New World, New Perspective. And it was based on Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to verse 13. I will not go and read into those verses because we do have a very little short time, but I'm just going to share some things. In the few verses, if you are read in Matthew 18, 12 to 13, it talks about Jesus, or saying an owner left the 99 looking for the one. Correct? But I want to tell us the one is important to Jesus, but the 99 is just as important. But you see, sometimes when we see from our perspective, our earthly perspective, we look at the 99. But the kingdom perspective is the one. But the 99 is just as important as the one. So this morning, as I share, please open your hearts to hear what God is saying about a new world, new perspective. It is not abandoning what has happened in the past. It's not forgetting the earthly perspective, but we got to take on a kingdom perspective of the days to come and what God is going to do in your church. Now, what I want to share is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. This is an encounter that these are a few verses that Peter wrote in the Bible. And when Peter wrote these words, it is from a personal encounter that he has with God. He had a different perspective, but when he engaged with Jesus and when he encountered Jesus, his perspective changed. And when Peter's perspective changed, the way he lived for the kingdom changed. We know Peter, isn't it? He's a fisherman, correct? He's also a rough man. And we always read about different encounters of the Bible that he is a man who speaks first, acts first before he thinks. He always gets himself into trouble. Correct? But yet, Peter, who is a fisherman, a rough gentleman, a person who speaks first before he thinks, acts before he thinks, what did Jesus call him? Peter is upon this rock that I will build my church. Peter, whom I gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So where you come from doesn't matter. Amen? It's where you end up with the perspective of God in your life. That's where it matters. That's where it's going to make a kingdom impact. So I pray that this morning, as I share from the Bible, they will take on again a new perspective of how you can make a great impact for the kingdom of heaven. Where you come from, your education, what you work for, what you work as, doesn't matter. It only matters where we end up as long as we handle kingdom perspective. Amen? So if you have your Bibles with you, please quickly turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. I'll quickly read. So you need magnifying glass to read what is on the screen. That's okay. Take that perspective and you'll get it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert of a somber mind so that you may pray. Note, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Note that as well, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so with one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised. In all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and evermore. Amen. Now, very quickly, there are three things we can learn from Peter. Like I said earlier, when Peter wrote these words in the Bible, on the manuscript in the days of old, these are a counter that we had with Jesus. It is not just words that's nice sound on paper, the sound on script, so it sounds Christian, like it sounds like an apostle. But these come from a very engagement that we have with Jesus. So understand, when I go through next few minutes on these three points, understand this is a personal encounter that Peter has with Jesus, and he took on a new perspective. And his new perspective changed the way he lived. Changed the way he lived for Christ. Changed the way he impacted the world. That's what God wants to do in this church this morning. That God's going to change the way you live. God's going to change the way you're going to impact the world. Amen? Three things that we can quickly learn. One is pray intensely. The second is love deeply. And the third is serve more wholeheartedly. Pray intensely. Verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert of a somber mind so that you may pray. Now, when Peter wrote these words, he wrote from a personal encounter with Jesus. Now, I don't have time to go through the verses, but this refers to the event that Jesus had with Peter and two sons of John and Zebedee in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's reflected in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 to 41. Just very briefly, what happened was Jesus brought the three disciples, Peter, John and James. But at that point in time, Jesus was sorrowful because he knew that the end of his days on earth will be soon. He's going to be crucified. But Jesus' heart was very troubled and sorrow. So what did he do? He brought the three disciples with him, along with him, to the Garden of Gethsemane so that they may pray. And when Jesus went into the garden and Jesus told the disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with grief. Stay here and watch with me." That was, remember, Jesus said to them the first time, "Stay here and watch with me." So when Jesus left them and Jesus went into the garden to pray, when Jesus came out of the garden after he finished praying, do you remember what happened? What did the disciples do? They were sleeping. And Jesus was very disappointed, isn't it? And Jesus kind of said, Can't you men keep watch with me 1 hour? So initially when Jesus started was just watch and pray. But when he went in and he came back and they were sleeping, and Jesus understood the humanness of us. And all he said was, watch and pray with me for 1 hour. And then later in the verses, why watching and pray is so important? Because Jesus in verse 41, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes our perspective is that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. But prayer is such an important facet of our life, isn't it? And that is all so important. But the disciples, while Jesus in the first part go into the Garden of Gethsemane, further into the garden to pray, the disciples were sleeping. What happens? They give into their earthly desires. They give into their own perspective, like, "Oh Lord, I'm so tired. You will forgive me if I just sleep." That is their perspective. But Jesus points to them was before even walking, watch and pray. Remember? And then when Jesus came out and saw them sleeping, he said, All right, guys, just watch and pray me. I'm just asking 1 hour. That's all I'm asking for." But why is it important for us to be alert of somber mind so that you may pray? And Peter explains it further in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. If you just take a note of it and go back home and just read the verses, because in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of somber mind, so that because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking someone to devour. Now, those are just not mere words that's put on paper. I understood that verse. In June this year, I happened to be on ministry. We were in Kenya with Pastor Dom and the team, and we're there with Kenya Assemblies of God. We were ministering, and on a Saturday morning, we had a little bit of free time. So the pastors were very kind and said, look, why don't you just go into the Nairobi Safari Wildlife and just experience the wildlife? And so we got up early in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning, and we changed, and we gone to the to a vehicle, and we were driving around the safari. Now, the reason for us to be so early in the morning, because the animals actually hibernate and sleep at night. And they get up early in the morning, 6:30, 7:30, just that's breakfast time. So we were just driving around. And then suddenly the driver got a call on the shortwave radio and say, look, there's a hunt going on. Then we sped towards the area that the hunt was going on. So imagine, so now I want you to imagine. So this is a safari, right? And you are in the vehicle and you're watching the hunt. So Pastor Marie, can I invite you? I'm just going to make you work a little bit, so please. Yeah, she can get away. So I just need you to stand here, face this way, and don't move. That's all there is to it. All right, guys, you are in the vehicle and this is the safari. And these are all tall bushes. So now what I'm seeing is, imagine you're me sitting in a car. I actually see a lion nest in the bush. And all I can see, I couldn't see the lioness very well because the fur is actually blended into the weeds. All I can see is that pointed two black tips. And then 300 feet away, that's breakfast. Pastor Marie is breakfast. That's an antelope there, 300 feet away. So we were just so excited for the hunt. And the driver drove us there, so imagine you're looking in, right? So I waited 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Nothing happened. Okay, confession for the soul. I wanted to see blood. I just wanted to see blood. Because this is, I'm paid for the fee, I want to see blood. So, and nobody moves. The lion doesn't move. The antelope doesn't move. 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I really got frustrated. All right, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. So, and nothing happened. So I asked the driver, why isn't anything happening? He said, look, the antelope knows she got to be still. Because once she moves, it is finished. She is breakfast. And that lion over there actually will chase her because there are actually other lions in the safari. They will just funnel her towards other lions and the lions will just devour her. So you understand what it means to be alert and a somber mind. Because your enemy, the lion, devil, prowls around like a roaring lion waiting to devour. And what the verse 9 says, resist and standing firm in the faith. Now, I am not sure if the antelope was praying. I don't know. I can't talk to the antelope. But for sure, I knew the antelope was just there, not moving. But if it's in a natural self, my natural self, if someone's there waiting for me, what will you do? Run, dead duck, you're finished. It is gone, you're meat. But the antelope didn't move. So if we have our own perspective, we'll do it the way we want to do. But if we understand godly's perspective, we will just resist whatever the world tells us to do. Amen? And what did he say? And in verse 9, if you read, resist him standing firm in the faith. So that is what it means to having a kingdom perspective. Resist the old perspective. Resist what the world is telling you, but stand firm in the faith. Have a new perspective. Because what our human self tells us to do is not the greatest thing in the world. Amen? Sometimes it is, but it's better be God that tells you to move. So that's what it means. And that's when Peter wrote, that's why, be alert and of somber mind, so that you can pray. So when we want to be alert and somber and understand this perspective around us, you must have a clear mind and not be distracted by what the world tells you. And the best way to have a clear and somber mind is feed your mind with the Word of God. Don't let the news tell you. Don't let Facebook tell you. I have no idea what other chats that they have. Don't let them distract you from the perspective of God. Be alert of a somber mind so that you may pray. That is the kingdom perspective that we have. So when Peter, from the time where he fell asleep, and then when Jesus spoke to him, and he understood, and Peter was a very prayerful man. That's where his perspective of his old perspective, my flesh, falling asleep, and then he went to a new perspective of understand to pray. But see, God is kind. God is kind. What did Jesus tell him to do? So please watch and pray for just 1 hour. He didn't ask us to pray for 24 hours. God just asked us 1 hour. If, you know, 1 hour is actually 4% of 24 hours in a day. If you are awake 16 hours, it's only 6% of your waking time. 1 hour is less than watching a movie. If we can watch a movie and documentary more than 1 hour, why can't we pray? That's the new perspective for us. Pray intensely. I don't know about you. I find it tough to pray. Maybe it's just me. But when I start to pray, I will actually fall asleep. If you think today that, no, it's really tough to pray, it's always good to start. Even if it's 1 minute, start with 1 minute. And it will run you into 5 minutes. But as you pray, as you engage God in prayer, God will put a new perspective in your heart. Then you pray. And you pray the things that God has placed in your heart. That's the kingdom perspective. Let me ask you, is there someone in your life today that needs to know Jesus? Is there? What does it take for you just to pray for that someone? 1 minute? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? But I'm sure most of us has more than one person. You know, this is Missions Emphasis Week, and sometimes we think about missions, it's really the going out. But literally, missions is also who is in your backyard that has not known Jesus. Do you have someone in your backyard, in your office, in your school, in your neighborhood that does not know Jesus? That is your mission field. If God calls you to go somewhere, go. If God has not called you to go there, pray for the neighbor. Pray for your family member. Pray for your friend. Pray for a loved one that needs to know Jesus. So the new perspective, pray intently. Very quickly, the second one, love deeply. Above all in verse 8, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, Peter understood what it means to be loved deeply. As we know in the story in the Bible, Peter was the apostle that rejected Jesus 3 times. Correct? Remember the story? So when Jesus got arrested and Peter was in the square, somebody asked him, do you know this man? 3 times. And he said, no, no, no. But that was Peter's perspective. What was his perspective? He was running scared. He was thinking about himself. He doesn't want to be associated with Jesus in case he gets arrested and thrown into jail. That was his perspective. But after an encounter with Jesus, his perspective changed. He got a new perspective. How did the encounter, what was the encounter that made his perspective change? If you turn your Bible, oh, just note it down, please. We don't have time to go through it. But in John chapter 1, verse 15, verse 17, That records the encounter where Jesus had a conversation with Peter. That was the encounter where they had the Last Supper. But when they were eating breakfast, had the last, Jesus actually, if you look at the scene, if you read those verses correctly, Jesus suddenly pivots his conversation to Peter. Not the rest of the apostles, but have a conversation with Peter. At this point in time, Peter has already rejected Jesus three times. That was his perspective. Now, when Jesus suddenly turned around to Peter and encountered Jesus, that's where Jesus demonstrates what it means to love deeply. Because in those verses, Jesus said to Peter, "Son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" And what was Peter's reply? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Restoration number one. Then Jesus asked him again, "Son of Jonah, do you love me?" And what did Peter reply? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Restoration number two. And then the third time, Jesus went to Peter and said, "Son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you love me." So that's Jesus demonstrating what it means to love deeply. And you see, Jesus was very deliberate. Peter rejected him three times, correct? How many times did Peter was restored by Jesus? Three times. So wherever you are this morning, if you feel that you're not worthy of the love of God, God is saying to you, whatever you have done, it doesn't matter. Because God loves you deeply. Amen? That is the perspective you have to take in your life. God loves you deeply. Amen? But God was very, Jesus was very specific. What does it mean to love deeply? It's not just, "Oh, I love you deeply," but loving you deeply, restoring your love in Jesus despite what we have gone through, has a purpose. If you go back to read John chapter 21, every time when Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" and Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you," Jesus said, "Feed my lamb." Then again, in the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." And the third time, Jesus asked Peter again, "Do you love me?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." That's what it means for the love of God to be in our life. When God restores in love in life, is to tend the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the lamb. It's for a purpose, so that others can be reached for Jesus. Amen? You know, I experienced this the first time as well. If you have the next slide, this picture shows what happened in June. My pastor Gerald, my lead pastor Desmond, and I, we went to Ukraine. We went to Romania. I'm sorry, because of the Romanian and the Ukrainian war was happening a lot at that point in time. And then the Romanian Assemblies God reached out to us and said, "How can we partner and help?" So besides us giving a love offering, and we went to the Romanian and Ukrainian border. So that's actually at the border. If you look at the picture on the top left going this way, that's the refugee coming in from Romania. That's all they had. A pram, couple of bags, couple of kids. That's all they had. Whatever they have built in their home in Ukraine is finished. That is all that they had. And then the Romanian church actually set up different tents. They had food there, they had medical care, they feed the child, as you saw. And then I asked the pastor, I said, "What else are you doing?" If you notice the bottom left picture where the church is, they said, "There's so many refugees coming in. They don't know what to do." And they cleared the pews of the church so that the refugees can sleep in the church. And that is still not enough. If you can see the picture on the bottom in the center where you see the guy with the red yellow pants, they actually mobilized the church to open up their homes that any refugee that comes in, as when the church cannot accommodate, they would just, no questions asked, take the refugee to their homes and let them sleep in their home. And then I asked the pastor was with me, and I asked the pastor, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" And he said two statements to me that I can never forget. He said, "The people of Romania love the people of Ukraine." And then the second statement he made, "The church of Romania had a big heart for the people of Ukraine. So that's what it means to love deeply. It's not only for ourselves, it's for someone who is in need. The reality is this. The Romanians do not know who these Ukrainians are. The Church of Romania doesn't know each and every one of the Ukrainians coming in. But yet, because of the deep love that they have for the people and the people of God, they just serve, they just give. And I was just being very cheeky as well. So I told the pastor, hey, Pastor, can we actually cross over into Ukraine? I just really want to see what's happening there in the war. Then he said, sure, we can do that. So I went with him to his office. He opened up the safe. He just took two stacks of money. That's all the money that is in the safe, in the church. He just took two stacks of money. Each stack is 5,000 euros. So I took 5,000 euros, he took 5,000 euros, and we just walked across the border. And I asked him, why? Because literally I saw there's no more money in the safe. That's all they had. And I asked him, so why are you doing that? He said, the church in Ukraine just needs this money more than me. That's all he did. He gave everything he had because he understood what it means to love deeply. He understood what it means when you love deeply is how you can make a kingdom impact, as simple as it is, for somebody who needs the touch and love of Jesus Christ. Now, church, that is what you can do today. Understand the perspective, and you can make a great impact for the kingdom. And very quickly, the last one, serve more wholeheartedly. You know, it's in verse 10 and verse 11. You know, in those verses, God said that each of us has a gift. Each of us has a gift to serve. Now, sometimes when we say we don't have any gift, but if you go through all the different verses, that I'm going to show the verses up there, we don't have time to go through it. If you go and read all these verses, you will definitely find a gift in there. Use your gift to serve wholeheartedly. Because God said, when God has placed a gift in us, what is it for? It's really for the greater good and the common good. If you look at the next verse. A spiritual gift is given to each and every one of us so that what? We can help one another. To each gift of the manifestation is for the common good. That's a different perspective. Whatever gift that God has placed in hand, please do not just hold it on. It's for somebody. It's for the greater good. I'm running a bit short of time, so I'm just going to share a quick testimony, a personal testimony, if you don't mind, Pastor Marie. You know, Trinity, let me tell you what is our, okay, very bluntly, this is not a show-off, not a boast, but very bluntly, our missions faith promise every year is about 3.5 million US. That's the church. And I've seen people give sacrificially to God. And God has blessed them in return. Now, reality is I'm only a pastor. I will be a pastor for 5 years. So now you're worried, why is this guy talking on the pulpit? Previously, I was just like you. I was just a member of the congregation. And I remember during one of the Missions Faith weekend, God was speaking to me. And God spoke to me to sell my car and give whatever proceeds 100% into missions. I struggle with it. Okay, those of you who know Singapore, cars are really expensive. Yesterday we were having lunch, but I was just trying to understand. Like a Toyota Camry is about 32,000 US, I think, in Canada, roughly. Or 32,000 US, I think. In Singapore, the same car today, it's about 125,000 US. Okay, so now you understand when I say I struggle to sell my car, I really struggle to sell my car. But God convicted me to sell the car, and I sold. So when I got the check, I didn't want to think about the check. Immediately, I sold into church. Because if I held on to the check and put it in my bank, it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to sit in the bank. So immediately when I took, I just sowing the church, I gave. And the amazing thing is when I gave, exactly 1 week later, the same amount of money came in back into my bank. So, amen, come on, let's keep going. So my worldly perspective was, I do not want to give. I do not want to give. That is my worldly perspective. But when God speaks to me, if I don't take on the godly perspective, the reality is I'm shortchanging myself. I'm not shortchanging God. I'm shortchanging myself. So when I give, I didn't think about getting anything in return. I'm giving out of obedience to God. But God blessed me in return. But the greater story is this. Next time God asked me to give, easy. I just gave. So hear from it. This is not a boast. It's just telling you my experience. And the next time that God asked me to do something, I just did it. No questions asked. God asked me to sell my apartment before and I've sold it. I've done it. That's because God says so. Understand, the kingdom perspective is really about God. How God used that money is how God used that money. Because that money doesn't belong to me. It really belongs to God. I'm only a steward of that money. True? So if you're stewarding for somebody and that somebody says, I want it back, doesn't it mean that you got to give it back? So church, this morning, I believe God is speaking into your hearts. And when I gave the way I gave, it broke me into a new level of faith and a journey with God. I'm blessed in ways beyond dollars and cents. But I can see how God moves, that the level of my personal level of faith increases. The church level of faith increases. As your level of faith increases, as the church level of faith increases, you will do great and mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. And I believe that's what PPC is all about this morning. That God gonna use this church, every single one of you, to do great exploits for the kingdom. And God will put a new perspective in your heart and spirit. And as God lays a new perspective in your heart and spirit, you will no longer be Peter the fisherman. Mm. You become Peter the apostle. Mm. You'll be a leader of the church. And on this church, that's what the Bible says, on this church, God will build the kingdom of God. Amen? So wherever I just close your eyes this morning. I just want to pray over you before I invite Pastor Marie up. You know, church, I'm thankful that I'm able to be here this morning. Indeed, really, God has brought me here for a reason. Not because of who I am, but it's to serve you and to speak a word into your heart and spirit. I pray that when you hear me, you don't hear the words of a man, but really hear from the very throne room of Jesus Christ. There's such a powerful anointing upon this church, but the anointing needs to be unlocked. The anointing needs to be released. And the unlocking and the release is not only on the pastoral staff, it's each and every single one of you. You are partners in the kingdom ministry as God has placed you in this church. You know, Peter, when he first started, was not a great man. He was just a fisherman, rough, like I said. He acts before he thinks, and he speaks before he thinks. But you see, the amazing thing about God is this. God gave him a second chance. And when he embraced that second chance, when he embraced that new perspective that God in him, he flourished in his ministry for the kingdom. You know, if you're sitting here this morning and you say, God, I have blown it. I've blown it because, God, I had an opportunity to pray for somebody, so that somebody could have known you, that somebody needs Jesus, but God, I've blown the chance. But God is saying to you this morning, that I'm giving you a second chance this morning. If that is you in your heart, that you feel that, God, yeah, you place somebody in my pathway, in my life that I can pray for, but I have not. But this morning, I want to take on the new perspective so that I can pray that person into heaven. If that is you, I just, wherever you are, just raise your hands. It's just between you and God. No one looking around. Thank you for the hand. It's just between you and God. Thank you. And those of you online as well, do respond. And God is with you wherever you are. Now, if there's some of you who say, God, I've not demonstrated the kingdom and the heavenly love that you have placed in my heart. In fact, sometimes I've said words to people that really, hurt them. I've not demonstrated what it means to express the love of God in people's life. But God is saying to you, this morning, God is giving you a second chance. If you have not demonstrated and you feel that you have not demonstrated and you have air in the kingdom of God, God is saying to you, He loves you deeply. And He still loves you. And He's going to restore that into your heart this morning. Just like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus loved him enough deeply to restore the love of God in his life. If that is you, you feel that I've blown it and God, I don't deserve your love. God is saying to you, He just loves you just as you are. If that is you and you want the touch and the love of God into your life this morning and get a new perspective, and with that touch of God, you know what it means to feed the lamb, tend the sheep, feed the sheep. If that is you, you just want to experience the love of God this morning and gain that new perspective that God, anyone you place around me, I will just love them into the kingdom. If that is you, you need the touch of God and the restoration of love of God into your hearts. Just raise your hands this morning. It's really between you and God. All of us are family here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, serve even more wholeheartedly. You know, the pastoral staff here, they need your partnership in serving the kingdom of God and serving people. Each of you has a different gift. Each of you, God has placed a gift, a wonderful gift in your heart and your hands. Use that gift to bless somebody. Use that gift in the mission field. Use that gift so that the kingdom of God can be impacted. You may have said, you know, in the past when the pastors asked me to serve in whatever capacity, even in the car park lot or even just as the host in the church, I've said no. But God is giving you a second chance this morning. If that is you, you want to say to Jesus, this morning I'm just going to commit myself to serve. Whatever capacity, whatever gift that you place in my hands, I'm going to use it to serve the kingdom of God, serve the people of God, so that God, your name can be glorified. So if that is you, I just want you to raise your hands as well. I say, God, I'm just willing to serve. It's not about me. Everything is about the kingdom of God. The gift that God has placed in your hand is a precious gift. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, Father, I just thank you for this morning and thank you for the word has been shared. Lord, I pray that even this morning in the Missions Emphasis Week, Lord, your perspective is the one that needs to know Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the 99. And Lord, we know you will always have the 99 in your heart and your spirit. But Lord, more importantly, that one that needs to know Jesus, that is closest into your heart. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning as they heard the word. even as they sit here and understand the perspective of praying intensely, the perspective of loving deeply, the perspective of serving each even more wholeheartedly. Lord, I just pray that even as they sit there, you place that one person, the one thing that they need to do so that, Lord, your name can be glorified. And Lord, even as they sit there, give them the boldness and courage to step forth to do the things they've never done before. Because in the kingdom perspective, you are the God of the impossible. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here this morning understand that, God, as we honor you, you will honor us. Understand, as we abide in you, you will abide in us. But God, you're in the midst of who we are, and your heart is for the mission field. And in this mission's emphasis week, Lord, the one that needs to know Jesus, let use us to be the one to reach to that one that needs to know Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.